All right there now, sports fan, you're listening to The Real Sports Guys Inside the Park, where we come to you tonight and talk to you a little bit about what's going on in the world of baseball. I'm going to be your host tonight, Hank Davis, and we're going to bring it to you for a little bit on this cold January day. But we know that at this time of the year, late in January, that the hot stove gets hotter, and we're also going to talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame. So you know what? Stay tuned, buckle up, as we get ready to give you another portion of Inside the Park. Tonight, we're going to delve into a couple of stories, folks. We're going to talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame this year. They've already made the selections for this year's Hall of Fame vote. And you know what? They did a nice job. The Baseball Writers Association did a real nice job of who they chose to be in the Hall of Fame this year. You know, they picked Vladimir Guerrero. They got Chipper Jones, Jim Thome, and Trevor Hoffman. Also, the executive committee went on and decided to bring Alan Trammell on board, as well as Jack Morris. You know, for some of us old schoolers, when it comes to baseball, this is really a nice job I think they did this year, especially with Trammell and Morris, who really transcended the 80s. You know, Jack Morris, who I think was one of the greatest pitchers of that era, of that decade, and right around the time when the DH was going on, pitchers were not hitting anymore in the American League, and Jack Morris was going against some thumpers, my man, thumpers. But he was one of the most prolific pitchers, strikeout pitchers in the 80s, winning World Series with the Detroit Tigers, the Minnesota Twins, and the Toronto Blue Jays. You know, this man seemed like he won everywhere he went in the 80s, and it was a great, great tribute, I think, that the Baseball Writers Association did for him to get him into the Hall of Fame this year. Same holds true for Alan Trammell, the longtime Detroit Tiger, a shortstop, and we know that Jack Morris and Alan Trammell was on that 1984 World Championship Detroit Tiger team that started the season at 35-5, never looked back. Just a great team, a team that also had Kirk Gibson on it, who we all know was part of that great call by Jack Buck. I don't believe what I just saw when he played with the Dodgers. A great team in 84. In 1987, Alan Trammell finished second in MVP voting to Toronto's George Bell. A lot of people, even me to this day, feel like he was robbed of that. He had a fantastic season, but he was one of the staples for that Detroit Tiger team for many years and deserved to be in the Hall of Fame. His numbers were comparable to those of like Ozzie Smith, the Wizard of Oz, and he's overlooked so many years. So for Alan Trammell, to Jack Morris, I want to say congratulations. To the 2018 class, we want to talk about these guys a little bit. You know, for some of you who don't know anything about some of these players, they did a fantastic job while they played. Vladimir Guerrero, one of the best bad ball hitters in baseball. The reason why I'm so glad to see Vlad Guerrero get to the Hall of Fame is he's one of those players that started with the Montreal Expos, you know, a team that I personally wish would come back to the major league somewhere. But he was one of the best bad ball hitters in the game. And let me talk about that a little bit. Vlad Guerrero had over 8,155 career at-bats. Okay? And of those, only 737 were walks. It means that less than 10% of the time of his 16-year career did he ever walk. That's about 55, if you do the math, about 55 walks a season, okay? And you think about how many at-bats you get in a year. He's swinging at everything. And you need to go, and if you want to just be amazed, just YouTube Vlad Guerrero's at-bats. And just see where some of the pitches are that he hit. Some of them up around the bill of his cap, some of them behind him, and he could hit the ball out the park. You know, most of his career with the Astros and with the Angels, just a phenomenal baseball player, just a hitter. The strike zone was expanded, but guess what? It didn't matter. You know what? And I'm not going to even mess with the man talking about how many strikeouts he had, because he put the bat on the ball enough to get himself into the Hall of Fame. Next is Mr. Brave Chipper Jones. I mean, Chipper Jones in a 19-year career spent 11 postseason appearances with the Braves. That was that Braves team, as you recall, that went to the postseason 10 straight years. And this was before they expanded the playoff format in the major leagues. So you had to win your division to get to the playoffs. And the Braves did this 10 straight times, getting one World Series. Their manager, Bobby Cox, just recently, last couple of years, got into the Hall of Fame. I look for more players from that team. I know John Smoltz is in the Hall of Fame, Glavine and Maddox. And there's got to be a lot more from that team that's going to make it to the Hall of Fame. Just a phenomenal era of baseball. And Chipper Jones was a staple of that for a long time at third base. Just a career 303 batting average. Just well worth it. Another good guy at the game. Another one, Mr. Jim Thome. I see Jim Thome played first base and spent the majority of his 22 years with the Cleveland Indians. Was part of that bashing Indian team that in my opinion should have won the World Series. But the thing about Jim Thome, he was a basher. He hit the ball out the park. A career 622 home runs. Okay, and was still bashing when he decided to end his career. I think he hit a home run on his last at bat when he's with the Twins. But just a phenomenal athlete and player, Mr. Jim Thome. And finally, Trevor Hoffman. If you don't know about Trevor Hoffman, spent all of his career with the San Diego Padres. And Trevor Hoffman is an incredible closer. Trevor Hoffman finishing his 18-year career with 601 career saves. You know, he's another one of those players that you say, okay, here we go again. One of these players is out west, and we don't see too much about him. And then you look up and say, how did he get in? Well, go look at Trevor Hoffman again. YouTube him, seeing the kind of stuff that Trevor Hoffman had. Again, I would say a phenomenal 2018 class. Congratulations to all those Hall of Famers. You got to give them praise, you know. Every year you got some guys that's just played their entire year, their entire careers, majority with these teams. That's one thing I see with this class, Hoffman and Thome, who, again, went to Cleveland a little bit with the Twins, a little bit with the White Sox later in his career. Guerrero spent all his career with Montreal and then with the Angels the majority of the time. I think he finished up with Baltimore. And then Mr. Chipper Jones spending his entire career with the Atlanta Braves. You know, there's something to be said about loyalty in sports. And this goes back to a time when some of these players from this era of baseball did just that. Now, you cannot talk about the Hall of Fame voting and the Hall of Famers getting into the Hall of Fame but you can't do that unless you talk about who didn't make it to the Hall of Fame this year. So who got snubbed? And one name that comes up is a good guy, Mr. Seattle Mariner, Mr. Edgar Martinez. Now, Edgar Martinez, when you look at his numbers on their own, you may not say, well, he may not have the numbers of an everyday player that deserves to be in the Hall. But if it wasn't for Edgar Martinez, you're not talking about David Ortiz. You're not talking about Big Poppy. You're not talking about players that have changed the game as far as a designated hitter. This is what Edgar Martinez did. Edgar Martinez made the designated hitter an essential part of your batting lineup. Okay, he was the one that flipped that lineup for you. Okay, that power hitter that was a guaranteed hit that had this on base percentage out of this world. He didn't make it this year. Okay, but because of him, a David Ortiz will make it to the Hall of Fame. So I'm looking at Edgar Martinez that he was close this year, and I'm looking for him to get in here, hopefully in the 2019 class. Another one is Mike Mussina. 270 career wins for Mike Mussina, spending all of his career with the Baltimore Orioles and the New York Yankees. Again, another one of these players, I think that if it wasn't for the fellas in front of him, is looking at a chance to get in. And again, another one that I look to make it and make it through to the 2019 class. But then you got those other two. And you guys know who I'm talking about. We're all talking about the elephant in the room, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. I'm wondering, you know, when it's going to be the time when the steroid era just kind of like fades away. All right. I'm one that believes that they both belong in. okay? I'm not going to use all of the time tonight to really get on my soapbox about that, but because they were part of a baseball era that allowed that, and they did their thing, but they were both fantastic and phenomenal baseball players, athletes for their teams prior to that, okay? Roger Clemens, I don't think we need to talk about his dominance. Held a record 19 Ks in a game. Barry Bonds, the home run champion, leader with over 700 home runs, 753 home runs, absolutely shattering Hank Aaron's record. But I'm just saying, these guys belong in. I just believe they belong in. They are a part of a baseball a baseball era that needs to be recognized, and they were the greatest of their time. Okay, and again, with both of them, regardless of what is being said in public opinion, they were never ever convicted of anything in regards to performance enhancing drugs. I know what the eyeballs test says, but it's not what you say is what you can prove. And to this day, I still believe that they should both be in. I might be in the minority there with all the baseball purists, but such as it is. Because now we're going to move on and talk a little bit about what really is going on in this time of year. And that's hot stove, okay? Now that we've taken the time to really recognize the players of the past, it's now time to recognize the players and the teams of the present. And what's going to go on very soon in the next several weeks as we start to move towards spring training. And now it seems like it has taken this long. We all know about the big deal of moving Evan Longoria to the Giants. We know about moving Andrew McCutchen to the Giants. Okay, we know about that. We're going to see what happens. We're going to see if the Giants pitching can hold up. Now they've got a couple of name players, who's, that's now playing in the Bay Area. But tonight, just recently, we're going to talk about a team that, you know, just came out the blue. That of all of the New York Yankees in the world and the Boston Red Sox of the world and the LA Dodgers of the world, who's making noise tonight on an obscure night in January? No other than the itty-bitty Milwaukee Brewers. Yeah, you heard me right. Somebody needs to break up the Brewers. The Brewers are starting to try to make some noise right now on an insignificant January evening. What are you talking about, Hank? Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about. And if you go back to our last podcast on One Mic, and I did a little bit of a tease right there, I want to talk a little bit about Christian Yelich, the young center fielder, Silver Slugger winner, Gold Glove winner that was with the Marlins. Okay, a young man that's in his prime that any team that is trying to get on the brink should be able to jump out and go and get. I was hoping my Detroit Tigers would take a chance to try to build around this young man, but no, they didn't. They chose to go ahead and stink up the league, but that's another story for another long time. But another team that chose to take that shot and is going to say, yeah, we're going to go and make a push, that's going to be, yep, you heard me right, the Milwaukee Brewers. The Milwaukee Brewers went on and traded to get Christian Yelich from the Miami Marlins. And not only that, they really made a splash. They went and got Lorenzo Cain, the outfielder, the speedster, the defensive player from the Kansas City Royals, the world champion from the Kansas City Royals several years ago. Okay? He comes back. He started in Milwaukee. He comes back to Milwaukee. He feels like winning, he says. Okay? And all of a sudden, now you've got two stud outfielders that's now with the Milwaukee Brewers. And then you're like, whoa. Now, last time we had an opportunity to talk a little bit about baseball, I also mentioned that the Brewers were looking really close, looking real, real side-eye at Yu Darvish. And you make yourself think, hold on. What are the Milwaukee Brewers trying to do? Well, see, you know, they're trying to win right now. But these moves, don't get it twisted. These moves that they've made in their outfield, Brewers in the outfield, is now overloaded that outfield. And they already had a 30 home run hitting outfielder in Domingo Santana. And, oh, by the way, they have a MVP player in Ryan Braun out there. So they're not done. You can't have all of this going on, all this payroll that you got for bringing in Lorenzo Cain, okay? And then you know at some point Young Yelich is going to get paid. You got to start making some moves. So what the Brewers are trying to do is say, okay, we're going to be movers and shakers this year. We think we got a shot. You know, you got to understand, like I said, Cain won a World Series ring with the Royals. And Yelich was a National Gold Glove and Silver Slugger Award winner. Okay, and so you're talking about the type of players that a general manager gets when they're trying to start winning championships. And the Brewers are a young team. They've made some moves to get young, and they're a talented group. They made a push last year. If you all remember, I was thinking, wow, I'm looking for the Brewers to fade. They never did, but they had a nice season. Now they're going and spending some money. This is a team you need to kind of watch out for, you know. When you're looking at the Cubs are starting to have a big city, big payroll issues. You know, they've got Jake Arrieta over there, and they're trying to figure out what they're going to do with that 31-year-old pitcher. Okay, can you sign him to a long-term deal? Do you do that? That's real dangerous when a pitcher that eats up a lot of innings for you starts getting into his 30s. All right, it's a steady decline after that. Okay, you don't play. What have you done What have you done for me lately when it comes to pitching and when it comes to starting pitching? So the Cubs have got some decisions to make. Okay, do they continue to rest on their laurels from 2 years ago, or do they make another run? Well, it's clear to me that the Milwaukee Brewers have made that decision, and they are not done, and they have really said, okay, we are really going to turn up the heat right now in hot stove. You know, and again, they, because they're not done, there's still some names, some who's who's out there of free agents that we still need to look at. Okay, next week we're going to be into February. And so and again, right around the corner from that is going to be spring training. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see where some of these free agents go and what do these teams start to do. Notable free agents. It's clear to me also that the Kansas City Royals have said, okay, we've got our one championship. It's time to start to do this thing all over again. Because when you look up, you see that Lorenzo Cain is now gone. Eric Hosmer hasn't been signed yet. Okay, and those were names you remember from that championship team a few years ago. Now they're looking to go elsewhere. J.D. Martinez, and this is interesting to me. J.D. Martinez is coming into his own as a superstar power hitter. Okay, traded from the Detroit Tigers to the Arizona Diamondbacks to help the Diamondbacks make their playoff push. And yet he sits here. Now I know he's looking for some years and he's looking for some coin. Detroit Tigers had signed him for a 2-year deal, which would have expired. So now he's ready to get paid, but he is going to seriously mess with somebody's payroll. I can tell you right now that the Boston Red Sox are very interested in him. Dave Dombrowski, who came from the Detroit Tigers, is very interested in him. They're not afraid to spend any money over there in Boston. They came short, woefully short last year of getting to the World Series. And so they're in a must-win now sort of mentality. So I'm looking for that to be the deal to come out of there. Mike Moustakas is still out there, and he's still available, as well as Todd Frazier. But you're talking about some guys that's got some mileage on them now, and they're looking for those 4 and 5 year deals with a lot of zeros behind them. So they're going to hang out there and see what's going on. So we're going to keep an eye out on those. See what sort of movement we get moving into close of the hot stove and the beginning of spring training. So that's going to be our show for this evening. When we come back from Inside the Park on our next show, we're going to continue to look at the free agent movement. We're going to look at, again, the beginning of spring training. Pitchers and catchers are going to be ready to report. And we want to see what hot prospects are out there. You know, what young man that's been really getting it done in the lower leagues is going to get his opportunity this spring. That's going to be the next Mike Trout. That's going to be the next Bryce Harper. You know, we want to see what's going on and see what team, who do we think is going to make a splash that don't look like they've made a splash so far this offseason. So until next time, this is Hank Davis telling you that's the ball game. And to please drive home safe.